Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
A person's attitude towards God's Word is a matter of life and death. Despising the Word of the Lord is like pushing a self-destruct button. However, God will abundantly reward those that trust in His Word and obey His commandments to love God and to love our neighbor. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 13, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
There's a lot of get-rich schemes out there, aren't they? Have somebody try to sell you on these get-rich schemes? Oh, they've happened. They've been the bane of the church. There were years ago when they were going through the churches, all of these pyramid schemes, you know, programs. Look at verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity, hastily, dishonest gain shall be diminished or dwindle. But he that gathers by labor or hard work shall increase. So beware, beloved, of any get-rich or pyramid kinds of propositions. Nothing good or value comes without the price of hard work and diligence. Hope deferred, verse 12, makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And I cannot help but think of the ultimate fulfillment of this promise of a fulfilled desire will take place when the desire of our hearts, Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, returns. The prophet Haggai said in chapter 2, verse 7, and I will shake the nations. Now, I don't know about you, but it looks to me like God's shaking the nations up, right? And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't it amazing? Now, as a believer, we're homesick for a place we've never seen. We're homesick. We realize we're just pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. Our desire, our hope is a person. He's a person. We desire either to see him when he comes to take us or to be with him. That's our blessed hope. Imagine when you and I get to see him face to face. We're going to see him face to face. That's going to be the ultimate hope accomplished. Just looking at in his eyes. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Even on earth, some kind of a promise that is made. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. I share with many of you guys how my wife prayed 47 years for something. And it happened. That's a long time. There's some of you that are 47 years old. But boy, when the desire came, wow. The blessed hope is the Lord coming again. Right? Us being with him. The hope of the gospel. Whoso despises the word, verse 13, beloved, who has no regard for it, no veneration for it, nor will to be ruled by it, shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, that passage isn't a threat by an angry God. It's a warning from a loving father. Proverbs 15:32 says, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. The older that I get, I wish that I thought like I think now when I was a teenager. I knew everything about everything. My parents were knuckleheads. And then I got married and I realized what geniuses they were. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. The Life Application Bible has this note. The Bible is his unfailing word to us. It is like an owner's manual to a car. If you obey God's instructions, you will run right and find his kind of power to live. If you ignore them, you are doomed to breakdowns, accidents, and failures. Isn't that true? That's true. Even if somebody doesn't believe the Bible and they do something, obey a biblical principle, you find that God delivers because there are spiritual laws, just like there are natural laws. And here's a spiritual law. If you despise the word, you're actually inviting destruction into your own life. But he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Look at the destruction that the human race has encountered all because of Adam and Eve listening to the devil instead of God. All of this that we see happening in the planet throughout the generations of mankind, going back to Genesis, it's all because of sin. It's all because of questioning God's word, which is actually what the devil always does. Did God really say that? To fear the Lord doesn't mean that you're afraid of him. It means that you stand in awe of him. It means that you have regard for his ultimate authority in your life. It means to reverence his word. It means that you desire to live in a way to please him and to honor him. The Christian Standard Bible says, the one who has contempt for instruction will pay the penalty, but the one who respects a command will be rewarded. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, like a spring which yields new understanding and strength. It's a fountain of life. Why? To depart from or turn away from the snares of death. It's a phrase we find three times in the proverb, the snares of death. We will see in chapter 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Sin is like a snare. I like watching the Alaska programs. How many of you like watching the Alaska programs? With a space heater in front of me, and it's 50 below zero, and I'm wrapped in blankets. Oh, I love it. And they have to hunt for everything. And they have this really, really ingenious way of covering up the trap. And they get these animals. That's what sin does. It traps you. Oh, it gets you. The law of the wise, the word of God, is a fountain of life. It shows us. It exposes the darkness of the enemy, doesn't it? It exposes those snares of death. And it's by drawing near to God that you and I resist the snares of the traps of the enemy. Good understanding, verse 15, gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. A good or godly understanding of things. Of course, favor of the Lord. But the way of the transgressor is hard. That's why, one of the reasons why Proverbs is written. To keep you and I from going down that path. Remember, it starts in chapter 1. Solomon is talking to his sons. And presumably, I mean, he had a lot of sons. And he had a lot of daughters. You know, more, they probably could have filled this church up four or five times, I'm assuming. And he's telling them the facts of life. Proverbs are given to us to keep us from going down that path. The way of the transgressor is brutal. It's brutal. You and I experience great hurt, real pain, whenever we transgress the word of God. Hebrews 11:25 tells us that there may be pleasure in sin for a season. Let's call it summer. But eventually winter comes. And then summer's over. The end result is always misery and destruction, because to be a servant of sin is slavery, it's bondage. Proverbs 11:6, transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs 11:3, the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The way of the transgressors causes them to be hard. It's hard. It's hard. Every prudent man, verse 16, deals with knowledge or acts with foresight. Wise people pray and think before they act. But a fool lays open or flaunts their folly. Again, we see how using caution and forethought prevents us from acting foolishly. The prudent person carefully weighs and prays over all the facts before making a decision. Godly wisdom is never rash or hasty. In fact, it's been said that it is never wise to make a decision when we are tired, overwhelmed, or angry. You'll rarely make a wise decision. We need to be prudent, don't we? Prudent, thoughtful, prayerful. God, is this your will? Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Living a life of prayer. Living a life seeking God to direct us. When you get in the car, you pray before you go home, don't you? You see, God is so good and so merciful that he's protected many of us getting from point A to point B without us praying. So we assume. Now, I don't assume that. When I get in the car, I pray. You know why? Because you guys are driving. No. There's people that drive, and it's like they don't have any regards for those signs out there. Speed limit, stop, yield, whatever. You know, curves. You need to be prudent, praying, seeking the Lord. Oh, my, how we need to be a house of prayer. That's why I would encourage you, when we have those Wednesday nights prayers, there's men's prayers, there's women's prayer time, but when we gather on these Wednesday nights, guys, that's the fuel. I mean, you praying at home, certainly that's a blessing. But when we gather together and we pray, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, God, we need you. We need you to pour your spirit out upon us. We need you to give us wisdom and direction and guidance. I just got 3 inboxes of how to make your church grow. Follow this pattern. I've had it up to here and beyond. You heard of quick, you know, get rich quick. There is no such thing as getting quick in the kingdom of God. We do it when we pray. Lord, you open up your spirit. You pour out your spirit upon us. You touch our hearts. You lead us. You guide us. A wicked messenger falls into mischief because they're unfaithful to execute that which was given to them. In Solomon's day, kings had to rely on messengers for information about their countries. And those messengers had to be trustworthy because inaccurate information could lead to bloodshed. But a faithful ambassador is health. Did you know that you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're an ambassador? You're a transplant from heaven here on earth. Did you know that? You and I are a transplant from heaven here on earth. We are ambassadors from heaven. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And here's how you're reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus tonight, saints. Amen? That means we are in right standing with the holy God. With all of the chaos and all of the craziness that's going on, I would strongly recommend, be very careful how much of that stuff, that news you allow to get into your head. How we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. Fill our minds with things that are pure and good and holy and edifying. Proverbs 25:13 says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Isn't that your heart's desire? Don't you want to refresh the soul of your master? I want to be a man of God that when I walk into a room, people aren't looking for the exits. I want to bring light when I go grocery shopping, when I go department shopping. I want to be a light. I want to shine for Jesus. I'm an ambassador. I want to tell people about the home that God has prepared for those who trust in him. Verse 18, poverty and shame or disgrace shall be to him that refuses instruction. There it is again, poverty and shame, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 10:17 says, he is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errors. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Verse 20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Walking with wise men, who you choose as friends is important. Now, we all live in this fallen world. We work with people, Christians and non-Christians. And that's where we get to shine. That's where we get to be salt. That's where we get to be light. Amen? And yet, the Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good manners. How many of you know that to be true? How many of you know as a parent, you wanted to make sure that your sons, your daughters were hanging around with the good people? You didn't tell them, no, make sure you go out and hang out with a gang member tonight or something. No. You want them to hang around with people that are good or godly. It's been said that wise men are gathered in the name of the Lord, governed by the word of the Lord, guided by the spirit of the Lord, guarded by the power of the Lord, and garnished with the glory of the Lord. There's nothing like the Christian life. And you know what? Christians do enjoy life on earth better than non-Christians. We do have fun in the Lord. That's not bad. That's not sinful. We enjoy what God has given to us. Don't you? 20 of you do. That's good. Yeah, and the rest of you. We enjoy what God's given to us, his gifts he's given to us. I think it's an insult to him to not enjoy what he's given to us. We're blessed. Oh, the best is yet to come. I know that. But there is an impact that people can have on you. Iron sharpens iron. And so it's very important, beloved. Fools shall be destroyed because they desire only the morally objectionable. How we need to be in. That's why fellowship with other believers is so important, isn't it? We need it. It's very important. Verse 21, evil or disaster pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Proverbs 11:19 says, he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, when the good is going to be repaid to the righteous, we know ultimately is in heaven, but on earth, there's no time limit given, isn't there? Is there? But God is faithful. All we know is that God will make his promise good, either in this life or in the world to come. That's why we read promises or exhortations like, don't be weary in well-doing. Did you ever get weary in well-doing? I'll be honest, you're in church. You ever get weary about doing well? Well, what difference is it making? What impact is it making? Now, I might as well what? When people say, I might as well what? What's the option? Don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing what you do in the name of the Lord, serving him, honoring him, seeking to give him glory. Don't be weary. Oh, you get tired. If you're going to serve the Lord seriously, biblically, you're going to get tired. You're going to get wiped out physically, mentally, emotionally. But just don't get weary in well-doing. Keep your hand to the plow, because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Yeah. I'm getting less amens. It must mean that it's towards the end of the night. Evil pursues sinners. You know what pursues the righteous? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A good man, verse 22, leaves an inheritance to his children's children or his grandchildren, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You know, the best provision that a man can make for his family is to fear the Lord always, to train them to fear the Lord. And second to that is to pass on to your grandchildren, within the provision of God, something for them to inherit. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spares the rod hates his own son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. In other words, parental discipline. Now, parental discipline is good, provided that the children obey. It just doesn't make them obey. They should obey, but it doesn't make them obey. How many of you know God's got a few disobedient children walking around on planet Earth? Right? So we have to do our part. But the other part is that the exhortation given is what? Make sure you obey the discipline. How many of you know, what's one of the ways that you know that you are a child of God? Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. So is God correcting you? You know what that means? You found this out. The things you used to get away with doing before you were saved, now you can't do it anymore. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You can't say that. You can't go there. You can't watch that. You can't turn on that thing that you used to. You can't. And it's not like you desire it, but if you even go there, go, nope. He disciplines you. He chastens you. He's a good, good Father, right? The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Satisfaction and contentment are twin virtues of godliness. You don't hear much about contentment this day, do you? I think we should have 365 days of Thanksgiving and one day of just complaining instead of the other way around. Wouldn't it be good? Let's do this. We're going to have 364 days of Thanksgiving, and then one day we're going to gather a church. We're just going to get it all out, all of the complaining, all of that. I mean, well, we're told not to complain, but there's power in being thankful. Remember the 10 lepers? Jesus spoke, one returned, and what did Jesus say? Where's the nine? The one leper returned, and he was a Samaritan. He gave thanks, and he was made whole. Satisfaction. The only thing that can satisfy the deepest needs of the soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't fill that with even the best of loves, the best of things on earth. The only one that can satisfy the unsatisfiable you and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked always wants more. That's covetousness. It's a black hole. If you're not walking with the Lord and finding contentment in him, you're always going to be wanting a little bit more. Well, I need more what? I want more what? More square footage. I want more horsepower. I want more of this. And then what? And what? Then you're going to want more. Oh, it's like wanting more is like a drug. You need more to satisfy you. Better is a little with the love of the Lord and contentment than having filet mignon every night. Right? Paul the Apostle said in the Philippian jail, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, that includes New York, to be content. It's been said that you can enjoy the blessings God brings your way without being upset that you don't have more. Aren't you finding that? You're just so thankful for the littlest thing. Look at bottled water. You know how many people on the planet would just give an arm and a leg for just this bottle of water? We're so blessed, so blessed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, KoinoniaFellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.